Well, it's only Thursday again, the day you all wait for. And it's my only working day of the week, some people think. Perhaps not. Today's date is May the 20th. This is the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name is Thomas Williams. Enjoy a packed show. Here goes another week off the tiny show with no intel and a whole heap more, all cobbled together in a fashion, must be said. Perhaps not. I believe, it was that song, I believe in me, I believe in you, and I believe in all of us. Let's do this. The groundwork for our venture is underway, and it's now time to kick it on. We are the saviours, we always were, and it's our time to believe in ourselves. Let's end all divisions, fear and anger, and turn towards love, compassion, understanding, and heaven forbid, cooperation. The TPC is our life train to ride. We have built the track. Now let's ride the new humanity train towards a better world for us all. And yes, they, the clowns, cabal, and the dark forces are dying, as their world no longer exists in the format it once was. They had to make a very public play, and they have been exposed more. As the day of the Svarog peels back the layers of the thicket bush into the light of day, and we see the snakes for what they are. Dark, evil and destructive. We are observing the death rattle, but we must also be aware of the cornered snake striking out. They can even strike out whilst dead, which is suggestive of alternating between the planes of existence. Only when the head is removed are they rendered obsolete. And so the object of the game is to cut off the head of the snake. A word of warning as the energies ramps up. The division will increase, the targeting will increase, the isolation will increase. Just stay your path. Trust your path and trust in you. Keep shielding, keep clearing your field, keep centering, which is balance, and protect your fellow members. We are all we have for now. I have had another busy week, a 1,750-mile cross-country round trip through storms, lightning and even hail, given the joys of the southern Oklahoma and north Texas weather. But it was a trip I would repeat again in a heartbeat. To meet such wonderfully vibrant, compassionate, intelligent and intellectual-based people all coming together to create a better world for Texas and also a blueprint for the rest of the world, all within the parameters of the TPC. Innovative ideas and presentations, thought-thinking ideas and solutions, all done in a loving, caring, compassionate and cooperative way, which is the essence of the TPC. TPC Texas welcomed me as one of their own. I felt their love. They listened and I listened. They questioned and I questioned. They answered and I answered. all proposed solutions and some provided their ongoing solutions as part of the TPC Texas package. New ways and ideas proposed for the communal gatherings that spurred more inspiration in myself, of which I will reveal later. And this is how we should all be. Engage in conversation devoid of imbalanced ego, an adult thinking based way, listening to each other and challenging each other to go on to greater heights within and of ourselves. And in doing so, inspiring others, including me. This vision that started with me, but is not central to me, has gained new momentum. And all it takes is a few like-minded individuals to come together harmonically and share ideas and thoughts, then put them into action. And a special thanks to the wonderful hosts, Barry and Charlotte, that allowed us all to invade their home for the weekend and share with us such wonderfully culinary delights. I tell ya, you all missed a feast. Thanks to Amy for arranging it all, and thanks to Michael for his math insights and many other insights. Nicholas for showing us his creation of microgreens. Kevin did a brilliant video presentation into maths and the great lie astronomy and science has delivered to us, and he corrected their lies and presented a worthy case for pondering and a possible teaching method for the school charter curriculum. I have visited two former state groups now, and both were really good people coming together. And this heartens me to see this. And it makes all the hassle, the targeting, the abuse, and in parts the sacrifice I have committed to this cause all worth it. This is about us, just us, for now. But build it and they will come. The great question is, who is they? Right, we'll now get into the more mundane parts of the show before the excitement kicks in later on again. And some news in the bot world of COVIDiots. But Mask Man, President Joe Biden, has hailed a great day for America. Not while you're around, it's not. And as US officials said, vaccinated people can go maskless in most indoor and outdoor settings. Woo. And the president removed his mask, not quite, in the Oval Office with Republican lawmakers as the guidance was being announced. Now, the advice still calls for mask wearing in crowded indoor settings, like buses, planes and hospitals, yet curiously doesn't mention Congress. Wonder why. Now, the Biden administration has faced pressure to ease restrictions on fully vaccinated people so they can run their divide and conquer program. And in another major step for the US in returning to pre-pandemic life, which doesn't exist, the president of the 1.7 million member American Federation of Teachers Labor Union called for schools to reopen fully in the autumn, where they can mind control children. 13 months of crass stupidity coming to an end finally, so it seems, but we must be wary of their extra waves generated by fake figures from John Hopkins et al. But overall, it has to be said, the masks and the lockdown taught us all valuable lessons. And the most important of which, there are no experts in any field. And people in general will always act like bots. That gives us the kick in the ass we needed to see. That not only us, not complicit with their stupidity, can save or change the world. The last 13 months has shown us that, so let's get moving. Judge Garland dismissed concern from Senator Richard Shelby, who asked whether the Justice Department was investigating with equal vigour protests in Portland, Oregon, and other cities that were often a focus of the former President Donald Trump. And he said, we don't care what the ideology is, violations of the law are pursued and are prosecuted. And I think it's fair to say that in my career as a judge and in law enforcement, I have not seen a more dangerous threat to democracy than the invasion of the Capitol. But it seemed fine that other members were ransacking many of the towns across the country, and no one stopped them. And he said there was an attempt to interfere with the fundamental passing of an element of our democracy and the peaceful transfer of power. And if there has to be a hierarchy of things that we prioritise, this would be the one we'd prioritise. It is the most dangerous threat to our democracy. That does not mean that we don't focus on other threats. Well, clearly you haven't, Judge Garland. Yet another lead position for a born two, I might add. Otherwise, the senator wouldn't be questioning you. Now, the reality is they won't investigate Portland in particular because it was the Jewish elites who funded and organised it, is why. Further on that, the Biden administration top law enforcement officials on Wednesday pledged to dedicate their resources to combat domestic violent extremists. Oh, so they're going to deal with Langley then? Well, jolly good. Why not? Amid questions over whether the agencies are equipped to monitor such threats in the wake of the January 6th Capitol riot. Well, I never. And the Attorney General Merrick Garland and the Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas appeared before the Senate Appropriations Committee for a hearing on domestic extremism as Congress ramped up its scrutiny this week of the circumstances around the attack on the Capitol. Funny they didn't investigate the potential attack on the Capitol 2 years prior. Wonder if you all still remember that. Hello, Pelosi. You complete psychopath. Now, both Garland and Mayorkas testified that, here we go, white supremacist groups pose the most serious domestic national security threat in the US, reinforcing what analysts have long concluded about far-right organisations. Well, what a surprise that is. And proves Israel is still pulling the strings of blaming the group they wish to target, whilst using their funds to target the whites as well, with Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And in case DC forgets, the whites still represent the majority in this country, and they need to quit targeting and blaming one group, no matter which colour, for all ills. And the message to them is, clean your own house up before blaming the people. Domestic violence extremists pose an elevated threat in 2021, and in the FBI view, the top domestic violent extremist threat we face comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocate for the superiority of the white race. The FBI is being ran by top Democrat criminals and the Israeli junta is the biggest threat to this country. Again, clean up in-house before blaming others. But the hearing on Wednesday highlighted the competing partisan priorities as Republicans urged a crackdown on illegal immigration, and the Democrats questioned whether the agencies are fully prioritising efforts to prevent the type of domestic extremism that led to the storming of the Capitol. Again, let's get it right, shall we? It was the Democrats, and in particular Pelosi, along with the treasonous media, that set the stage for the likely staged Capitol event. Again, pointing fingers away when they need to look at themselves. We're off to the UK next. No, we're not. God, they'll never forgive me for that. The Irish calling them the UK. Well, some of them anyway. In February this year, the Irish tennist Leo Varadkar resorted to a well-established Bolshevik tactic when he labelled a gathering of thousands of Irish people who were marching through Dublin in protest of the nation's farcical COVID lockdown policy as bonkers. And in doing so, Varadkar, I don't know if it's Varadkar or Varadkar, made it clear in a roundabout way that anyone who dissents against the government could be assumed mentally unwell, sectioned and placed in a loony farm. And he had confirmed that the Stalinist ploy to rid the country of opposition by locking them up in mental asylums had been adopted by the sitting Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Green Party, the World Economic Forum-sponsored cartel. And I'm pointing this out to the hypnotised normies of Europe's only fluoride-mandating nation. This person who wrote part of this was laughed at and fobbed off as a tin hat-wearing zany conspiracy theorist. And he pointed out that further legislation had recently been enacted in the country with the COVID-19 illusory virus pandemic used as an excuse to change existing laws in an effort to further tighten the grip of arbitrary control of the Irish people. Now, the emergency measures in the public interest COVID-19 bill and the special powers granted to the Department of Health via the 2020 Mental Health Care Act meant that an Irish citizen could be detained against their will without access to a lawyer, arrested without a warrant, subjected to force and coercion, and put before a single person tribunal who had the full authority to have him or her isolated and placed in a detention facility of any sort, including but not limited to a psychiatric hospital. Once again, the Bolshevik techniques and the poisonous styles used to stifle political dissent were plain to be seen. Once again, though, the majority of Irish men and women whom I spoke to about this brushed it off as a minor triviality and showed no concern for its threat to their liberties. It was all for our own good, apparently, you said. And there you have it. And that's what we're up against. And we need more Irish speakers speaking up about the shenanigans within that country. As one lead Irish figure went from alt-media warrior and joined the news media establishment this week, and another is sitting around waiting for 5D. Now, the Irish have always had a rebellious nature to them. Yet, where is your rebellion and fire that has been prevalent so much of your past? Because it needs to come back, and quickly. Scotland next. And Education Scotland showed signs the system is panicking this week, with a document highlighting to teachers the rise in the radicalisation of children. Oh my. And they are blaming it on the alt media. And we want to thank Education Scotland for recognising our work. Now, they stop short of using propaganda in the document, as that is the school board's realms. Now, in it, they highlighted several things the system is demanding for the children to be stopped. And number one was the Jewish plot and blaming Jews for everything. This was in the school board to the teachers to stop the kids. But blaming Jews for everything is wrong, but in part it is right, the Jewish elites. The second one, the British Muslims are spreading COVID. Really? You know whose fault this is? The BBC and Sky for pushing anti-Muslim rhetoric on the people, and so it's backfired. The next one, a narrative promoting anti-Chinese. Again, that is the fault of the BBC and Sky promoting agency-led scripts, repeatedly warning the public that China is the enemy. Daesh inspired narratives claiming that the pandemic is divine punishment for the West's sinful behaviours and using this to promote the need for a caliphate in the West. That's where it started to slide. I'm not sure kids are discussing that in the slightest. Most kids don't know who Daesh is. And that is propaganda on behalf of the Israelis. Did they mention a caliphate? Oh my. The next topic was extreme right-wing conspiracies, claiming that society is collapsing and that right-wing terrorism can accelerate its end through inciting social conflict, violence, and ultimately a race war. Again, kids will not know what is the stupid bird-like labels of left and right wing. So again, that is propaganda. And again, the media are wholly responsible for pushing and promoting racial division. The last one, I think it was, yeah, why the conspiracy theories relating to 5G, test and protect an anti-vax, which can be detrimental to public health messaging, more like public health propaganda. Conspiracies. You have to laugh. You also have to laugh at their own stupidity and their desperation. But here is one test you can see with your own eyes and listen with your own ears. It's called the retard test. Which figure is higher and better? Immune system, 99.97%, or the vaccine, 63% to 90%. One has no side effects and keeps you alive. The other has a multitude of side effects, including death. They are, as I have stated, losing the children. Children outside of the mind-controlled school system develop themselves in a better way. That has been proven with homeschooling. And although a lot of our alt media leaves much to be desired, particularly the vast volume of them connected to agencies who are responsible for the lot of the above lists themselves, and given MI5 runs not only the government via the Fabian Society, but the media as well, not to mention the private contractors like Serco running the schools and the school boards as well. then we have a problem. But the school board, in their stupidity and their suggestions to avoid all this and get proper news, was the BBC. Surely you jest. No? My advice then is, please take the retard test again then. Amazon is gearing up to bring on 75,000 new employees, and one of the incentives they will be offering new hires is a $100 bonus payment for proof that the worker has been vaccinated against COVID-19. With its less than stellar reputation on employee welfare, Amazon is resorting to offering bribes to workers as the US job market struggles to fill positions. And with more and more people turning to e-commerce sites to do their shopping during the pandemic, it is one of the many stores looking to quickly hire fulfillment and logistics employees. Now, besides the $100 for proof of vaccination, new Amazon employees will also receive another $1,000 as a new hire. And in my opinion, Amazon should be put under the microscope. This is them skirting the system and offering bribes to be vaccinated on a peoples that are struggling through lack of funds. And it's ironic, they ban stuff promoting non-vaccines, yet the likes of Amazon can put it in your face. Solution? Mass boycott of Amazon. It's that simple. Medical bribery for an experimental vaccine is a crime against humanity. The boss of the US tech giant IBM, or I was M, has said a computer chip shortage could last another 2 years. Where have you heard that before? Not 2 weeks. we heard a lot of that over the weekend on Drakey Cakes. And its president, Jim Whitehurst, told the BBC it could be a few years before the situation improves, and many firms have seen production delayed because of a lack of semiconductors that was allegedly triggered by the pandemic. Gets about that pandemic, doesn't it? And the shortage has been exacerbated by surging demands for TVs, phones and gaming consoles while consumers are stuck at home, which is a lie. Mr. Whitehurst has said on BBC World News Service, there's just a big lag between from when a technology is developed and when a fabrication plant goes into construction and when chips come out. So frankly, we are looking at a couple of years before we get enough incremental capacity online to alleviate all aspects of the chip shortage. Now, IBM licenses its microprocessor technology to the world's biggest chip makers such as Intel, TSMC and Samsung. In reality world, the chip shortage is due to them being used for vaccines and PCR tests. Fact. And the 2 years tallies with the government warnings, including Dr. I Don't Give a Fauci, of that it will take 2 years to vaccinate everyone. Connecting the dots now. The World Horror Organization chimed in this week and said long working hours are killing hundreds of thousands of people a year, according to their report. And the first global study of its kind showed 745,000 people died in 2016 from stroke and heart disease due to working long hours. And the report found that people living in Southeast Asia and the Western Pacific region were the most affected. Now, the WHO also said the trend may worsen due to the coronavirus pandemic. There they go again. Just blame everything on the pandemic. And the research found that working 55 hours or more a week, that all, was associated with 35% higher risk of stroke and 17% higher risk of dying from heart disease compared with a working week of 35 to 40 hours. There's no need to work for that long either. 30 to 35 maximum. Now, the study conducted with the International Labour Organization also showed almost three quarters of those that died as a result of working long hours were middle-aged or older men. And often the deaths occurred much later in life, sometimes decades later, than the long hours were worked. Now, in the UK, the Office for National Statistics found that people working from home during the pandemic were putting in an extra average of 6 hours of unpaid overtime a week. Boggles my mind. People who did not work from home put in an average of 3.6 hours a week overtime. The solution? Create more cooperative businesses operating under the TPC guidelines. That ends that nonsense of harvesting once and for all. And the second stage of any TPC funded company is for the staff to work only 4 days but have equal pay to 5. And most people who are immersed in the core pirate world will go, you can't do that. Yes, you can. You take out the CEOs who harvest all kinds of wages. That goes into the lower pot. You take out middle management who are just spies for the CEOs. And that goes into the pot. You take out snake oil brokers out of your company who are making money off a product they didn't produce. And then suddenly you have a bigger pot to spread amongst all the workers. What a surprise this was. Not. A novel written about persecution of Jews in Germany in 1938, which was then forgotten about for 80 years, has made it onto a UK bestsellers list. And Ulrich Alexander Boschwitz, The Passenger, is about a Jewish man who, like the author, attempts to escape the rise of the Nazi regime. And it was rediscovered in 2018 after the author's niece told an editor about it. Now, the book has had stellar reviews and has now entered the Sunday Times list of top 10 hardback fiction bestsellers. Fiction. The UK edition sold almost 1,800 copies last week to put it at number 10 on the list. Christ, you don't need to sell many books. Perhaps From Russia With Love book will go to number 1, given that you only need 1,800 to get to number 10. And it was written in the weeks after Kristallnacht, the night of the broken glass, and the outbreak of mass violence against Jews, which did take place in Germany and Austria in November 1938. Tells the story of a Jewish businessman called Otto von Silbermann, who hears a knock at his front door from Nazi stormtroopers and quickly realized he must flee. He and his wife stuffed all their money into a suitcase. Just their money? Why does that not surprise me? Because it's all about the shekels, you see. Yes, Mr. Finkelstein. and he ended up boarding a train after train across Germany as they tried to make their escape. Now, Boschwitz himself had left Germany 3 years earlier after anti-Semitic laws were enacted, and his book was published in the US and UK in 1939 and 1940, respectively, but made little impact and soon went out of print. Now, the author unfortunately died in 1942 at the age of 27 when a boat he was travelling on was torpedoed by the Germans. I don't wish to play down some of the nastiness that took place against many people, not just Jews, back then. But what a coincidence that they unearthed this book this week. As the same psychopaths who ransacked Russia and Germany are doing it to their own falsely created state and all neighbouring countries. So why did it come out now? Because it's a mind control, spell casting tactics is why. Sympathy for the devil that shames and guilts many peoples when it's their own kind who killed them as a sacrificial offering. His story won't tell you that. Ours will. Why is Gaza, one of the most densely populated places in the world, blurry on Google Maps? Was the question that was asked this week. And it's an issue that has been highlighted by researchers using open source, Robert David Steele, clown, publicly available information, including mapping data, to locate attacks and document the destruction. In fact, much of both Israel and the Palestinian territories appear on Google Earth as low-resolution satellite imagery, even though much higher quality images are available from satellite companies. And until last year, the US government restricted the quality of satellite images that American companies were permitted to provide on a commercial basis. Why? Because of national security. Ah, I see. That means they cover up their own crimes then. I get it now. Do you? Or they? Now, the Kyle Bingaman Amendment, KBA, had been introduced in 1997 to address Israeli security concerns. Although the ruling only referred to Israel, it was also applied to the restriction to images of the Palestinian territories. And the KBA limited image quality so that an object the size of a car was just about visible as a highly blurred image, but anything smaller would be very difficult to identify. We, Israel, would always prefer to be photographed at the lowest resolution possible, said Amnon Harari, the head of space programs at Israel's Defense Ministry last year. It is always preferable to be seen blurred rather than precisely, he said, which is indicative. And it's just a pity their roles in top positions around the world were not made blurry as well. In fact, it would be preferable to not see these born too in any top positions, as the world would be better off overnight. Now, it's not uncommon, it said, that sites such as military bases have been blurred, but the KBA was the only case of such a wide area being subjected to a restriction. However, once non-US providers such as the French company Airbus were able to supply these images at a higher resolution, the US came under increasing pressure to then end its own restrictions. And on it goes. Tensions between Australia's military and a controversial Israeli weapons manufacturer are threatening to topple a multi-billion dollar IT system that allows army commanders to control units in the field. Now, defense is refusing to comment on the saga, but several sources with knowledge of the dispute say the army is now moving to scrap its battle management system, which is produced by Elbit Systems Australia. Now, they are not an Australian company, you'll be not surprised to know. The digital Israeli technology allows army commanders to better coordinate various land assets during complex battlefield scenarios where previously they had to rely on analog methods such as maps and radios. Really. They haven't been using them for decades, so let's not make that excuse. Now, the United States military, this boggles my mind. The United States military has for years taken special precautions while operating alongside Australian vehicles that are equipped with the Elbit BMS system because of security concerns about the Israeli technology. And yet your own government gives these psychopaths the funds and the knowledge that came out of this country to build these systems that they are wary of. Does that make any sense? No. It's a program then, isn't it? And military figures have said simmering tensions between the Defence Department and Elbit Systems Australia have come to a head in recent weeks, with the army now moving to stop using its existing deployed BMS. And one army source who spoke to the ABC on the condition of anonymity describes the standoff as a complete shambles. And he said people are getting the shits with Elbit exploiting their monopoly to impose huge premiums. All about the shekels. And there are definite concerns that the Israelis are backdooring the system for other information. Now, the ABC News understands Elbit employs 190 staff in Australia, but Defence is now looking to use an American company which is yet to properly establish itself in Australia. And yes, Elbit is backdooring every system, as I understand it, all paid for by American money. And this has to stop in this country, and quickly. Here is another group out of control, also, and also wasting taxpayers' money. The Pentagon is running a 60,000 strong secret army made up of soldiers, civilians and contractors who travel the world under false identities embedded in consultancies and brand name companies without the knowledge of the American people or most of Congress, according to a report this week. Now, the top secret army was created by the Pentagon over the past 10 years as part of a program called Signature Reduction and operates both domestically and internationally using a low-profile force of clandestine warriors who sometimes wear civilian clothes as they carry out their assignments. Now, the force is 10 times the size of the covert elements of the CIA and comes at a cost of more than $900 million a year, and engages about 130 private companies in operations in locales like the Middle East and Africa, the the report said. Now, despite the undercover army's size and budget, Congress has never held a hearing about it. The fact that it's mainly operating in the Middle East and Africa means it's working for Israel then. Another $900 million of our funds wasted in pursuit of the Dark Forces agenda. And in my opinion, the Pentagon is a giant waste of public money, as not one cent of it, appears to me, is spent on benefiting the American people. All of it, seedy, undercover, underworld, black budget expenses with zero oversight. None. Now, the military intelligence specialists comprise the second largest element inside the force, but the newest and fastest grown group in the unit is made up of cyber warriors who use false personas and non-attribution or misattribution techniques online to disguise themselves so they can track high-value targets, collect publicly accessible information, and engage in influence campaigns to manipulate social media. I have no doubt they're listening to this show, just like Stanford University, thanks to one of our members who caught that out. But remember, the Pentagon ran social media before handing it over on the same day to Facebook and the Israeli junta. Now, signature reduction programs, which are administered by a number of shadowy government organizations, have no unclassified definition and are portrayed by the Defense Intelligence Agency as what individuals might use to describe operational security measures for a variety of activities and operations. Cloak and dagger, then. And the report said, ultimately, the programs shield the operators from being identified by the groups they are tracking online and cover their cyber tracks to keep their identities secret to protect them from retaliation. It boggles the mind, it really does. And this is a national disgrace. You know, we have the Pentagon, 17 agencies, 5 to 6 branches of military consuming enormous expenses of this country's yearly funds. And yet, none of it benefits America or Americans. None of it. And as harsh as that sounds, it is the truth. And I would be welcome to be shown otherwise. $1 trillion a year to wage war on other countries, and none of it helping Americans is the reality. The solution? Cut the military budget to $500 billion maximum. It's currently $1 trillion. Cut 17 agencies down to 3. One domestic, one international, and one cyber. Cut the 5 to 6 military branches into 3. Land, sea, and air. And make them defend this country only. Or lose more budget money. And if you thought the actions of the Pentagon were bad in that story, listen to this one. A recently relieved Space Force commander claimed Monday night that the Pentagon sent service members a video that claimed that America and white people were evil. Yes, you heard it correctly. Lieutenant Colonel Matthew Lohmeyer told Fox News that the videos were sent out to every base and service member, and we were asked to watch them in preparation for our extremism down days and discussions on race. Those videos, Lohmeyer added, taught that the country was evil, that it was founded in 1619 and not 1776, and that whites are inherently evil. Lohmeyer did not specify when the videos were sent out beyond saying it had happened in the past 10 months when he was in command of a unit. However, in early February, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin ordered a military-wide stand-down in an effort to tackle domestic extremism in the ranks following the January 6th riot at the US Capitol. This is what we are wasting $1 trillion a year on. For jackasses with badges of dishonour to spew out Hebrew Anunnaki and Siachar propaganda. And I'm once again asking the good people in the Pentagon, the CIA and other rogue-based agencies, the soldiers, all need to stand up now and be counted. Bollocks to following their orders. They're psychopaths. You don't follow psychopath orders. You are being swept with the same brush as these psychopaths, and there is raw Ellie agenda. Let's unite and bring these old system dark forces down. Right. We're going to get into some COVIDiot news now. I still can't get over that last piece. The Pentagon saying Americans and whites are inherently evil. And we tolerate this. What was the last funding that went out of the trust? To the Pentagon. Recent updated figures from the CDC is that 10,570 are dead from the vaccines and 405,259 injuries due to the vaccines. Meanwhile, 99.97% without vaccines survived. And that figure could have well edged higher if not for John Hopkins and their fake math. Though, whilst I have an issue with the legal system and lawyers in particular, snake oil, a lot of them, it's all about the shekels and ka-ching. I can see a mass of lawsuits in the coming years, which I would hope we would avoid. And they will be enormous when reality finally kicks in and the people realise what has been done to them. And I suspect most countries will rise up to turf out their governments. But people must be aware that the clowns want governments gone for their one world government programme also. Now, over this weekend, Texas reported reaching the milestone of zero deaths from COVID-19 for the first time since March 2020, also followed by Arizona, Minnesota, and Massachusetts, also recently reported COVID death-free days for the first time in months. I received this piece this week and thought it was worth highlighting on a wider scale. And this person works in the hospitals and works in a lab, and I think it was a she, runs PCR tests. And they said, I give COVID patients blood from the blood bank, and I run all lab tests on them, as well as have access to all the collected COVID metrics. And here is what I know. One, COVID was never presented as a true virus. The blood counts never added up as a historic viral syndrome. And they said this is very much a bio-weaponized viral vector blood coagulopathy disorder. It doesn't affect the lungs as much as it affects the oxygen carrying capacity of the red blood cells. And they said we gave people units and units of blood to offset the low O2 counts to no avail. And this affected type A and B mostly, but when we started giving them O, many recovered quickly. Now this supports a previous piece I had done of the O blood group and smokers being more resistant to this bioweapon. And they said this indicates manipulation at the molecular level to affect the blood, and so it's not viral. Two, many patients were specifically selected to die from COVID. They were used under the guise of their comorbidities to up the body count. I reviewed many patients, elderly, immigrants, unsuspecting and unaware populations who had no knowledge of medical processes, who on their death day had nearly perfect biochemical lab results, yet died having only minor illness but with ongoing comorbidity. I suspect the exclusion of having loved ones visiting was to hide the medical treatment they were given. And they said this is not hyperbole. Many travelling doctors and nurses were brought in during the height of the pandemic to help administer care. So, they brought in outside doctors and nurses at the expense of local doctors and nurses to end the familiarity with patients, is what that piece says. And that's reminiscent of the avian-looking plague doctors in the past, is it not? No one knew where they came from either. Three, the package inserts of the PCR explicitly says if you have had prior viral illness of any kind, false positives may result, as well as having had a flu shot. And it also explicitly stated the test does not confirm or deny that the existence of pathogens is what is causing any disease. Four, many patients were admitted with positive tests only to be discharged 8 hours later. They were not sick, but their admission allowed the hospital to get extra compensation for there being a true inpatient, which confirms what I've said all along. Hospitals are not there to treat you or I, just harvest you, and the medical people at the top are part of this criminal gang against humanity. Now please don't take that as me meaning all doctors and nurses. because like the Freemasons, many are clueless as to what they are actually involved in. 5. They were calling entire psychiatric floors positive for COVID because the patients didn't know any better. No tests to confirm, just observationally diagnosed. So they just made all mental patients COVID. So they collect shekels, you see. Bearing in mind, most mental health clinics are funded by the CIA and MK Ultra groups. Just saying. 6. The hospital staff were being highly encouraged to get vaxxed, and most who did are now being monitored as test subjects. Maybe that is the silencing technique, as dead people don't talk. Another classic agency tactic. They have now introduced special lightning protector equipment all around the building. Lightning protector equipment. And yet we rarely have lightning, and made us aware not to worry about this big noisy project. When did you ever get a notification at work about this, she asked. They didn't. Here is where they are testing the biosensors of the nano in the vax. The luciferase bioluminescent uplink with the AI crypto system to see if it works well before they unleash it on the general public. I think we exposed that in May last year. And they said, my hospital is well connected to the Harvard, MIT, Fauci, Gates network and has historically been a teaching hospital where many Novell experiments were done over a century of operation. And they asked, do you see where all this is going? The next one. We're off to Canada. The Canadian province of Quebec will no longer offer AstraZeneca's COVID-19 vaccine to people as a first dose, the health ministry said this week, following advice on the issue from its immunization committee. And the ministry said in a statement on Thursday that almost all of its AstraZeneca doses have already been used in people aged 45 and over in recent weeks. Any doses left, including an additional 148,000 set to arrive in the next week, will only be used as booster shots, the ministry said. I want to reassure Quebecers who received AstraZeneca's in the first dose, its effectiveness is high and lasting, the health minister Christian Dubé said in a tweet. Well, if it's effective and high and lasting, why are you stopping it? Oh, God, I've done it again. Common sense. Oh, my God. And the ministry's statement highlighted that blood clots related to AstraZeneca's vaccine are a rare side effect. Approximately 1 in 100,000, which is a lie. That's more John Hopkins math in reverse. But did not say this was the reason for its change in strategy. And Quebec is the latest Canadian province to alter its AstraZeneca vaccine use this week after Ontario suspended its rollout of the jab over blood clot concerns and Alberta paused its campaign due to supply issues. Now, multiple countries around the world have reported a small number, it's not, of unusual blood clotting cases among the millions of people injected with the Anglo-Swedish jab to date. And drug regulators in the US and EU have said the vaccine's benefits continue to outweigh its risks. Not unless you're taking it, it's not. As for drug regulators, they are in on the scam, is why. Like the CDC and FDA, which we covered their involvement in last week's show. Off to Sweden. An official tally of suspected side effects resulting from COVID vaccinations in Sweden has surpassed 30,000, with the majority of cases occurring in people inoculated with the AstraZeneca shot. And according to the Swedish Medical Products Agency, as of last week, the Scandinavian nation had received 31,844 reports of adverse reactions linked to the rollout of the vaccines. Now, Sweden is currently offering three variants of the drug. Variant drugs and variant strains. It seems variant is the new normal. Now, there are currently 2,103 reports of side effects from the mRNA shot, whilst the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine has been associated with 9,117 health issues. But the number of suspected adverse reactions from the two shots seems relatively small when compared to the 19,961 reports linked to AstraZeneca's Vaxzevria. And the most common side effects for all three drugs were fever and headache. Not quite. Other reported adverse reactions included nausea, joint pain and dizziness. Now, notably, the AstraZeneca shot only accounts for about 26% of the roughly 2.7 million vaccines that have been administered so far in Sweden, but makes up around 63% of the side effects reports. And of the nearly 32,000 reports, 663 cases have been registered where it's unclear which vaccine was administered, which goes against what they've mentioned previously, because all the vaccines were tailored to individual people. That came out in the mRNA's own report. Now, 2/3 of the reports have been submitted by the general public, and the agency cautioned that individual reports do not necessarily demonstrate a correlation between the medical episode and the vaccine. Yeah, right. And Ebba Holberg, an official with the Medical Products Agency, told Swedish media that it was unusual to receive so many reports of side effects. Not really. We forecasted 12 months ago. Again, you see, there's no experts. But noted that the figure was likely high because of public focus on the new vaccines. But the only one that's making focus on the vaccines is the media and school boards and other jackasses, like YouTube. Healthcare providers are likely only reporting more serious side effects, the official theorised. What, like death? And Holberg also said that it was possible that AstraZeneca was overrepresented in the data because the shot was given to many young people and healthcare workers who are more tech savvy and would therefore be more likely to report an issue. What a load of bullshittery that is. Really. And according to one Swedish outlet, the agency has received more reports of suspected side effects over the past several months than it typically does for over 4 years. Oops. In March, Sweden was one of several nations to temporarily suspend the use of the AstraZeneca jab following reports of abnormal blood clotting in recipients. And AstraZeneca, as well as the European Medicines Agency, have insisted that the vaccine is safe after it came under scrutiny. But since then, new reports have linked the drug to severe medical episodes and even death. And earlier this month, a 35-year-old female medical worker in Vietnam died from anaphylaxis after being injected with a jab in what has been described as a very rare case of adverse reaction to the vaccine. So, why are the media reporting against AstraZeneca all of a sudden? Remember in a recent show, I warned that AstraZeneca would face the wrath of the Hebrew Anunnaki media for the audacity to ask Israel to pay for vaccines they had already purchased. Now you are seeing it in full. Here's like a mini expose. Take us into the next break and then some real interesting pieces will unfold. While Congress sparred over the question of then-President Donald Trump's first impeachment, Senator Tom Cotton was preoccupied with what would become the story of the decade. And the Arkansas senator was begging the White House to take a novel coronavirus circulating in China more seriously. And he warned that despite the Chinese Communist Party's narrative that it emerged from a wet market, Wuhan was also home to Wuhan Institute of Virology, WIV, and China's only BSL-4 laboratory known to conduct experiments on novel coronaviruses. Now, Cotton's queries about the true origin of the virus were written off at the time by the rest of the federal government and also the media. Yep, their complicity in it is why. But the circumstantial evidence was always there. Now, the closest known genetic cousin of SARS-CoV-2 is RaTG13, a coronavirus with a 96.1% nucleotide similarity. RaTG13 was discovered more than 1,000 miles away from Wuhan and was brought back to the Wuhan facility by Xi Zhengli, who was conducting gain-of-function experiments on coronaviruses. We covered that in Exposé 6 or 7, gain-of-function. With the explicit purpose of making them more transmissible and dangerous. What psychopaths are these? Now, despite the State Department's 2018 warning that such experiments were risky, it now seems likely that the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, headed by none other than Dr. I Don't Give a Fauci, who funded these experiments. Now, Fauci just about got everything wrong in the early days of the pandemic, from masks to outdoor transmission, but his early support for the wet market theory seems like no mere mistake. His nearly omnipotent control over government funding of virology successfully silenced most of the virology industry, and Fauci categorically denies funding the Wuhan gain-of-function experiments with the novel coronaviruses, and yet the evidence tells a different story. Now, in 2017, virologists successfully lobbied to rescind a moratorium on federal funding for gain-of-function research, which is a dangerous scientific practice reviled by other biologists. Guess who released it? Mr. Trump. But between that moratorium's imposition in 2014 and its repeal, 10 projects received exceptions. And one of those awardees was EcoHealth Alliance, a pandemic prevention non-profit organisation led by Peter Daszak. Now, the description of Daszak's project per his application for federal funding reads in part as follows. This project will examine the risk of future coronavirus emergence from wildlife, using in-depth field investigations across human-wildlife interface in China, molecular characterization of novel COVID and host receptor binding domain genes. Host receptor binding domain genes. Mathematical models of transmission and evolution and in vitro and in vivo laboratory studies of host range. This project aims to understand what factors increase the risk of the next COVID emerging in people by studying COVID diversity in critical zoonotic reservoir, bats. Again, we covered that in Exposé 6 or 7, at sites of high risk for emergence wildlife markets in an emerging disease spot, China. Now, the three specific aims of this project are: 1, assess COVID spillover potential at high risk human wildlife interfaces in China. This will include quantifying the nature and frequency of contact people have with bats and other wildlife. This will include quantifying the nature and frequency of contact people have with bats that are infected and other wildlife. Serological and molecular screening of people working in wet markets and highly exposed to wildlife, screening wild caught and market sample bats from 30 plus species for COVIDs using molecular assays, and genomic characterization and isolation of novel COVID-2. To develop predictive models of bat COVID emergence risk and host range. A combined modeling approach will include phylogenetic analysis of host receptors and novel COVID genes, including functional receptor binding domains, a fused ecological and evolutionary model to predict host range and viral sharing, and mathematical matrix models to examine evolutionary and transmission dynamics. 3, test predictions of COVID interspecies transmission. Predictive models of host range emergence potential will be tested experimentally using reverse genetics, pseudovirus, and receptor binding assays, and virus infection experiments across a range of cell cultures from different species, and, listen closely, humanized mice, chimera. Pseudoviridae is a family of viruses which currently includes 3 genera. And viruses of the family are actually LTR, retrotransposons of the TY1 copia family. They replicate via structures called virus-like particles, VLPs. They replicate via structures called virus-like particles. So, a bit like computer bots then. Now, VLPs are not infectious like normal virions, but they nevertheless make up an essential part of the pseudoviral life cycle. Although EcoHealth Alliance is based in New York, not a surprise, DAS-ZAC collaborated with Zhengli in China, routing NIAID funding to her coronavirus gain-of-function research. Funding EcoHealth Alliance is a feature, not a bug, of Fauci's career goals. Now, after the outbreak of AIDS and then 9/11, Fauci's anti-terror biodefense budget exploded to $1.7 billion by 2003. In a 2011 Washington Post op-ed deeming gain-of-function experiments as a risk worth taking, Fauci wrote, "Working carefully with influenza viruses they have engineered in isolated biocontainment laboratories, scientists in Europe and the United States have identified several mechanisms by which the virus might evolve to transmit efficiently in the ferret, which they say the best animal model for human influenza infection." And the question is whether benefits of such research outweigh risks, Fauci said. The answer is not simple, indeed. A highly pathogenic bird flu virus transmissible in humans could arise in ways not predicted by laboratory studies, and is not clear whether this laboratory virus would behave in humans as it does in ferrets. Nonetheless, new data provide valuable insights that can inform influenza preparedness and help delineate the principles of virus transmission between species. And it should come as little surprise that Fauci and NIH Director Francis Collins wrote a loophole in the moratorium that allowed them to continue funding DAS-ZAC's work despite full knowledge of the risks. Unless the bat-borne RATG-13 really managed to mutate naturally into SARS-CoV-2, travel over 1,000 miles without infecting anyone along the way, and then end up in a wet market that sold neither bats nor pangolins, then, well, you do the math. How does that happen? Well, it doesn't. Not naturally, anyway. And somehow, the report says Fauci has become a national hero and the Chinese communists have gotten off scot-free. DAS-ZAC's reward? Becoming the only American on the China-approved sham World Horror Organization investigation designed to shut down an increasingly credible lab leak hypothesis. Final piece for the next music break. This is a line taken from a Senate committee on the dangers of the vaccine and how protocol was broken to launch it. Now, it was revealed there was insufficient animal testing done on the jab. Why? because the animals were dying in large numbers and was stopped, it was revealed. Oops. Right, with that COVID-iot stuff out of the way. The Georgia Guidestones, everyone's familiar with them, with their 500 million people being left in harmony. Not quite. Or maybe it might be. Maybe 7 billion are bots, who knows. But the Georgia Guidestones are 666 nautical miles from the centre of the Cuban pentagram at Tarara, which is Ararat backwards. Mirror magic. Now, Tarara is a gated resort town in the municipality of Habana del Este in the city of Havana, Cuba, and it's about 19 kilometers east of the city center and west of other beaches, including Santa Maria del Mar and Guanabo. Now, this resort community was built in the 1940s in Art Deco style on a hill facing the Atlantic Ocean, and a small marina is located in the inlet west of the town. An amusement park was located across from the inlet, but in 2006, it was left in ruins. Now, while there's hardly any evidence of its past existence on the ground, the aerial view reveals a pentagram shape, and the circle that surrounds the pentagram measures exactly 666 feet in diameter. Now, the pentagram does not belong to Playa Tarara, but in Playa Selamar, and it was built after 1959 as an amusement park for the Pioneros of Cuba organization. Royal Sylvester Webster built railroads in Mexico, then moved his family to Cuba so he could build railroads there as well. After he had finished building them on bought land, and then raised his family there. Now, Tarara was developed in the 1940s by the American Royal Sylvester Webster as a complete town with a church, Santa Elena, a club known as the Tarara Yacht Club, 400 residents, stores, a movie theatre, a marina, a public park and beach facilities. And many considered the Tarara Beach to be one of the most beautiful on the island, with its boardwalk being a popular weekend destination. Now, Tarara was a fast and easy trip to Havana and the airport, with newly paved highways going directly to the resort. And Mr. Webster, the Royal American Royal, lived there, as did all of his children. Now, the entire Webster family, numbering 10 who were born on Cuba and 10 who were originally US citizens, were later forced to leave the island, however, after Castro's police confiscated their homes. And now a British hotel company wants to buy from the Webster family, and the family disagrees whether they should sell it or not, and the older generations doesn't want to sell, but the new generations do want to sell some of the land. Now, after the Cuban Revolution in January 1959, Che Guevara went to live at a summer villa in Tarara to recover from a violent asthma attack. And while there, he started the Tarara Group, a group that debated and formed the new plans for Cuba's social, political and economic development. Now, in addition, Che began to write his book, Guerrilla Warfare, while resting at Tarara, and he returned to Tarara in June 59 for his honeymoon after his marriage to his second wife, Alida March. Now, at the height of the of the Cuban-Soviet relations, the town housed Russian officials stationed in Cuba, and for a while in the early 1990s functioned as a recovery resort for Ukrainian children affected by the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. After 2000 and the partial opening of Cuba to foreign investments, this was a place of choice for representatives of foreign companies. It's all sounding very Epstein to me. That were doing business in Cuba and with the residences functioning as rental villas. In 2005, the town was turned into a recovery resort for blind patients from Venezuela in a part of a deal between Fidel Castro and Hugo Chavez, in which Cuba offered medical expertise in return for Venezuelan oil. What I will say, in addition to that, is Cuba has got a lot of medical cures that has never been released to the public. Eczema being one of them. In 2007, the town began to receive Chinese students, especially high school graduates, and this under a project in which the Cuban government provides scholarships and facilities for those Chinese to learn Spanish. Now, the Tarara Beach houses can be leased for a minimum of 1 year from the government for foreign and embassy employees. And in previous years, Canadians, Italians and Spanish visitors rented the beach houses for long stay vacations for 1 to 6 months. But this has not been re-established as of 2009. And many houses have been renovated recently due to interior destruction from the Venezuelan people's misuse of it. And the Cuban doctors now go to Venezuela to treat eye patients. In 2006, and here's the kicker, oil was discovered in a well near Tarara, and maybe why there is an American interest in relations again all of a sudden. 666 miles from the Georgia Guidestones is the pentagram. One wonders if the Pentagon is 666 miles from the Georgia Guidestones. Perhaps someone can find that out. It wouldn't surprise me. It's all in code. But Tarara reversed is Ararat, which brings in the fake boat story and Noah. And Noah's boat was said to rest on Mount Ararat, but Noah's ark was not a ship on water. It was in the water of the sky. It was a sky ship. And they told you that in the 100 series. The ship carrying humans awaiting a return to Earth, still suffering radiation from the nuclear wars. And it was called the Ark for a reason. Now, another name of a ship in that series was called Polaris, now known as the Polestar. But the original Polestar was Thuban, which again is connected to Egypt. But Thuban is a star in the constellation of Draco, known as Alpha Draconis. The great question is, who is the Omega Draconis? Now, this next piece came from Roger, one of our communal gathering law group people. And this has been part of his research into law. And you come across all kinds of other things along the way. And he said, what we know as Rome was founded around 525 BCE, by who we now know as Pythagoras, also a Persian false prophet called Haggai, and King Darius of Persia. Now, to add to your research, Roger, one wonders whether Haggai is another title, as the word Haggai comes from Hagag, to gather for a festival, and Yah, which is the shortened name of the Lord. So Haggai means a festival for the Lord Yahweh. Now Haggai and Darius were called to build a house for the Lord. It's not your normal house. 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. Now this is the house. The house of orange and the house of this and the house of that. The house is also the zodiacs. And Pharaoh means the great house. In other words, it's a collection of psychopaths. Just saying. Now, Darius was depicted in Egyptian hieroglyphs in Anunnaki regalia with a black face, as in jet black. Now, Persians are not black and suggest he was one of the Kalima. And in another relief, he was a chimera, half man, half lion. He was also related to Cyrus, you know, Trump the great Cyrus, via two marriages of daughters of Cyrus. Roger goes on, Pythagoras, Haggai, and the Yehudi priests of Mithra devised the republic model, and this was a fascist state with three classes of citizens: patricians, those born to the Yehudi priestly houses, Cohens; the second class, men who through skill and learning achieved the highest degree, very Masonic; and municeps, who swore allegiance with the straight arm, fascist salute. And you all thought it started in the 1900s. Everyone else was slaves. Sound familiar? Now, Yehudi means Jew, and it was the Yehudi priests who gave the children to be sacrificed to Molech, as did Solomon. Roger says they then corrupted true ancient wisdom and created 10, oh, the decimal again, occult degrees, the highest being G-E-W-E, which means illuminated man. Hence the Masonic G, G-E, illuminated man. The letter J did not exist in the alphabet until the 14th century. Actually, it was nearer the 16th. But there you go. And Lucifer, the light bringer, the illuminated man, was a title for the Roman emperor. So this is the origin of Jew, which is phonetically G-we. And the Jewish religion sprang from the cult of Mithra, which came out of Babylon and Persia to Roma, a cult of blood sacrifice, cannibalism, abuse, elitism, and slavery. There was never an Israel. There were provinces and kingdoms known as Palestine and Judah with a Y. Yerusalem, two different words. Yeru, which is the language of the Indians. Salem, turned into Jerusalem, was originally an Egyptian military outpost. Well, I never. And Roger says there never was an Israel with a Jewish religion until the Balfour Declaration assured the Rothschilds that Her Majesty's Britannic government would support the creation of the Israeli state. And this was done to bring America into World War I, as Britain was on her knees and losing badly and needed American help to survive. So all conflict in the Middle East is founded on a lie, he said. And I agree, Roger. The conflict is them reclaiming where they were stationed in the past. That's the ongoing issue now. It's them reclaiming where they were stationed in the past. And they are operating on behalf of off-world entities in worship of Isis, Ra, and El. Is Ra El? I wrote this for a show on March the 9th this year, called Exposé 7. And I asked the question, why is the CIA central to all levels of heinous crimes against humanity? Are the people that represent that blight against humanity even human? Are they actually CIA cars? CIA cars. Now, car is a suffix used after the names of villages along the western coast of India, forming the most common surnames used by the Marathi and Konkani people in Maharashtra, Goa, and some parts of Karnataka. Car is also the surname of the mostly Brahmins of Kashmir, Maharashtra, Bengal, and Odisha. Car Brahmins hail from Karhama village in Kashmir, which is stated to be India, but it's across three different countries actually. And in Bengal, the Car surname, spelt with a K, is also used by people in the Kaya Astha and Kshatriya clan. Lots of K's. During the rule of the Nawabs of Dhaka, the Khars of Bengal were the tax and revenue collectors and government office workers and were known to be the prime enemies of the Jat caste, J-A-A-T. Tax and revenue collectors. Which group started that? The subgrey race. Now the suffix car comes from the Sanskrit car, which means making, doing, lord of, and was later modified to mean hailing from or belonging to. Lord of and hailing from makes sense, doesn't it? But then we have a place called Karnak in Egypt, and it is connected. The abode of Amun, A-M-U-N, which is the origin of Amen. And no, I'm not joking. Amun means the hidden god. And the hidden god was Ra. Hence, Amun-Ra. And when you say Amen, you are worshipping Ra. Oops. For those that don't know, the Siyakars are a reptilian group, spelled C-I-A-K-A-R. Are they one and the same group? It would certainly make more sense than trying to get your head around of why a group of humans assembled to treat life with such little regard and disdain in any country. Because they have killed many a home as well with their clandestine operations. And there's barely a show that goes by that references this group in some rogue activity or another. Not because I just wish to highlight them, but because they are involved in all that is evil on this planet. What have the CIA got against humanity? Why will and have they gone to great lengths to delete life all so easily? Threaten people to do their bidding and work? Use people like pawns in their evil game? Use an espionage, mind control, blackmail and MKUltra on people? Why did so many of the Jewish SS end up with the CIA? They who committed human atrocities and experiments on people within their camps, which then went into MKUltra. And the great question is, are you required to have homicidal and maniacal tendencies, certain levels of evil, and willing to commit any crimes just to become a member of the CIA? And are there any good people within the CIA? It's a genuine question, as this cancer on the planet involves lots of people to carry it out. Why is no one walking away and or speaking out? So why am I repeating that? Because just 2 weeks, well, 2 weeks, well, I never. Yes, it was just 2 weeks after the March 9th show, the CIA released a video called Humans of CIA. Is that a coincidence or what? Why place the name humans in the title? Is it because they are distinguishing between the human agents and the non-human? I'd like to thank them for the confirm. But now I want to see actions. I want the humans of the CIA to come and join us at the People's Club communal gathering. Introduce yourself and let's chart a better path for us all. It's that simple. Which leads us into this next piece on their modern day war and death cult. Now this report was done on Friday, early Friday morning. And more casualties and hostilities have transpired since then. But the Israeli military has intensified its assault on Gaza as Palestinian militants continue to fire rockets into Israel on the fifth day of hostilities. And the Israel's army said air and ground forces were involved in attacks on Friday, but had not entered Gaza. And a BBC reporter in Gaza said there was heavy shelling involving gunboats, fighter jets and helicopters. And at that point, more than 100 people have been killed in Gaza and 7 had died in Israel since fighting had begun on Monday. Meanwhile, Jewish and Israeli Arab mobs have been fighting within Israel, prompting its president to warn of civil war. and the Defence Minister Benny Gantz ordered a massive reinforcement of security forces to suppress the internal unrest that has seen more than 400 people arrested, most of them for complaining about their own country's violence, I might add. I saw a report today, there was 500 Israelis who were campaigning against the Israeli violence, and they're arresting them. Now, in a statement released on Friday morning, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the Israeli military operation against Palestinian militants in Gaza would continue for as long as necessary. And he said Hamas, the Islamic group that rules Gaza, would pay a heavy price. Now, the Hamas military spokesman said the group was ready to teach Israel's military harsh lessons should it decide to go ahead with a ground incursion. And hours earlier, Israel's military called up 7,000 army reservists and deployed troops and tanks near its border with Gaza. And at least 103 Palestinians have been killed since Monday. Like I said, this was last Friday, including 27 children and more than 580 wounded, according to the health ministry in Gaza. And officials in the territory said many civilians had died. Now, Israel says dozens of those killed in Gaza were militants and that some of the deaths are from misfired rockets from Gaza. Yeah, right. What they don't tell you is Mossad gave Hamas the rockets. Oops. It's all staged, managed. And as I said, that particular news report I added to the show before Department for Texas, and is no surprise the sacrificial style carnage is continuing. And those that have followed me for some time will know that I warned of this a long time back. And this move is in part of the desperation of the Hebrew Anunnaki and their Zionist program. There are some people in Israel now who are liking their own country like Nazi Germany and fascism. But what those people need to understand is Zionism is fascism, is communism, and all other government forms of isms. And it was the same program and people who killed the Jews, Poles, Russians, Slavs, and Aryans then, as it is now. Now, Hamas is the latest boogeyman of the Zionist cult. But perhaps given Israel operates in code, hidden hand, duplicitous and changed vowels and translations, but sometimes it is in plain sight. Hamas means zeal, strength or bravery in Arabic, but in Hebrew it means violence. So why is that important? Because we have heard from several leading Jewish peoples and narrators that the Jews always backs both sides of every war. So Hamas is in part Jewish created, as was ISIS and other so-called terrorist groups. ISIS, Israeli Secret Intelligence Services. But did you know where the modern term of terrorist came from? Terrorist in the modern sense started in 1944, especially in reference to Jewish tactics against the British in Palestine. Oops. Now, there is a series called Mossad, which is another series that can quite clearly be labelled as a documentary. How they were involved with Daesh, ISIS, and also Hamas. And in it, they have lead operators in all the so-called terrorist groups. And it was made clear they were operating those groups for their own ends. Maybe it's not a coincidence that Mossad has SS in the middle of their name. They infiltrate everything and steer it for their own ends. And they have told us that also. And how many times have I said in shows of leading people and groups that are involved in atrocities and other forms of anti-human behaviour with born in and born to? There is a reason they call New York Gotham. And it's all in your face, and much of it also in stealth mode, which is a key word and operation of all militaries. But have you ever wondered why the US military uses Latin for its badges? Because it's being ran by the same group that pushes the Zionist agenda is why. Latin is a reptilian language. Go and look at Lockheed Martin, USAF and Northrop Grumman badges. And it reveals far more than just Latin. It's all in your face. And this violence is the prerequisite for their third temple of human sacrifice again. And the Rome Church of Satan is also in on it. They have told us they worship Lucifer. They worship Samael, who was a demon. They revere Solomon, who worked with the demons and did human sacrifice, particularly children. They worshipped Herod, who slayed all the children in his temple. Molech, another child sacrificer. And they worshipped Lilith, who was also slayed children and was part snake. Lilith, the moon goddess and the night crawler that led to the fall of man, which they signify by their six-pointed star badge. Man and woman together is like a diamond shape, a pyramid up and a pyramid down. But the top slipped, and what you're left with is the six-pointed star. It symbolizes the fall of man. And that six-pointed star is not only a symbol of Jewry, but the Masons. The US cops all have six-pointed star badges, and also the Mormons. They're all one and the same. It's all the same cult of Ra and the serpent race, backed by the Pleiadian Thoth avian race to chase down, disrupt and take over the white race planet again. Throw into the mix Apophis, another snake, and the brother of Ra. Apophis or Apep, derived from the Egyptian word to slither. Hathor, who also went by the name Isis, which is the creation of two major names in this, Isis Ra El. And then you have Isis Lam. Is Lam means the hidden Isis. Hathor spawned the serpent god Horus, adding another of their group, Set, and how they were all warring each other for the head serpent, or the more modern day term, Pindar. Apophis turned on his brother Ra to fight for the lead snake. And guess what Ra did? He turned into a cat to defeat the snake, which is why cats are revered globally. They are the symbols of the brotherhood of the snake and Ra, the fake solar god. Bastet. I could say something rather close to that. Is the symbol of it. She is depicted as Ra's daughter. And the large cats on most bloodline family badges symbolises this. And this is also the group who brought here the domesticated cat into Egypt. The tabby cat is not native to here and did not originate from the large cats here either. But the Apophis and Ra is the classic allegory story of Cain and Abel, neither of which were human either, and the story unfolds and also unravels. Throw in Moses, which is a title. Noah and his descendants Shem, Ham and Japheth were not human either. The brotherhood of the snake is who they are, that spawned all religions in their name and for their purpose. Their story is in the Egyptian hieroglyphs, the Bible and the scriptures. And those books are not about us, but them. And the bizarre thing is that people in the alt media are still asking for ET disclosure. How much disclosure do you want before accepting the fact that you already have it? And it's all hidden in plain sight. But the stealth war goes on behind the scenes. And I warned in December 2019 you would see the public war. We have, and that is what is playing out now. It is time for people to see for themselves. But this is Ra-Eli public war, is part of a hostile takeover plan by the dark forces who go by many names. They will not succeed. The Koshis are the Kosher, both are aliens. But they are also the Khans, who are the Kohens, known as the priest class, which again came out of Egypt. And another letter K group, the Kalima, which means the Dark Mother, which goes by differing names like the Black Madonna and also Lilith. Kalima, worshipped in India, the original Garden of Eden and the origin of the sub-grey race better known today as Jews. But they are not real Jews. And in reality, they are walk-ins of another species. They are embodied. They are embodied. An embody means to give a body to a spirit, which is the origin of the word incarnate. Embody also means to derive or deprive of spirituality. Embody means to deprive of spirituality. Embody means to represent in human or animal form, which is the origin of the word personify. Embody means to cause to become a body or part of a body, which is the origin of the word incorporate. Just like an incorporate business, which means dead entity. Why? Because it's hosted by something else. But perhaps embodies, the word, needs a closer look, as in the letter M, bodies. Is embodies, Marduk, bodies. We have something they will never, ever have. It's all about conquest and ownership with those entities. This is our power. Embrace and exude it. Right, where are we going next? Watching the weather wars going on globally currently, and also a series of flooding events on the middle and eastern sides of this country, whilst the western side remains largely in drought-like conditions and some extreme drought conditions, I came up with an idea and a solution. And one of the things that amazes me is how long flooding remains in place in certain regions, and yet we have the drought conditions that is less than an oil pipeline away. Now the solution is you have a fleet of trucks with large tanks and pumps that would suck up the excess water and enable flooded regions to start the recovery quicker. The trucks then can then dump the excess water into vast tanks to be transported and dumped into the Colorado River system that feeds several states who are suffering droughts and need the much needed water. So there are two solutions for this. Either the fleet of trucks drive there to deposit the water, or we build pipelines across the country to transport the excess water to the Colorado River or other rivers in the region to replenish it. Now the argument by the system is it would be too costly. But everything that is beneficial to the public appears too costly to them, despite the money spent belonging to the people. So if doing something of value for the people is too expensive and so not valid, then perhaps we need a closer look at government costs, military costs and agency costs as well, as they are not valid or fit for purpose as it stands. But this would solve some of the water issues. Given the abuses of the medical fraternity imposed on the people over the past year or so, and in relation to the COVID bioweapon, but also the fact that the third leading cause of death in America is medical malpractice, perhaps it is time for we the people to make future hospitals be called care and cure centres, and staff implement an oath that has long since expired called the Hippocratic Oath. Now, the Hippocratic Oath is perhaps the most widely known of Greek medical texts, and it requires a new physician to swear upon a number of the healing gods that he will uphold a number of professional ethical standards. And it also strongly binds the student to his teacher and the greater community of physicians with responsibilities similar to that of a family member. And in fact, the creation of the oath may have marked the early stages of medical training to those outside the first families of the Hippocratic medicine, the Asclepiads of Kos, by requiring strict loyalty to the oath. Now, over the centuries, it has been rewritten often in order to suit the values of different cultures influenced by Greek medicine. And contrary to popular belief, the Hippocratic Oath is not required by most modern medical schools, although some have adopted modern versions that suit many in the profession in the 21st century. It also does not explicitly contain the phrase, first do no harm, which is commonly attributed to it. Perhaps it needs to be added back in. So, this is the Hippocratic Oath. I swear by Apollo, the physician, and Asclepius and Hygieia, which could be where the term hygienic comes from, and Panacea, and all the gods and goddesses as my witness, that according to my ability and judgment, I will keep this oath and this contract. To hold him who taught me this art equally dear to me as my parents, to be a partner in life with him, and to fulfill his needs when required, to look upon his offspring as equals to my own siblings, and to teach them this art, if they shall wish to learn it, without fee or contract, and that by the set rules, lectures, and every other mode of instruction, I will impart a knowledge of the art to my sons and those of my teachers and to students bound by this contract and having sworn this oath to the law of medicine, but to no others. I will use those dietary regimens which will benefit my patients according to my greatest ability and judgment and will do no harm or injustice to them. And here's a more modern day oath that needs requiring. I will not give a lethal drug to anyone if I am asked, nor will I advise such a plan. And similarly, I will not give a woman a pessary to cause an abortion. In a purity and according to divine law, I will carry out my life and my art. I will not use the knife, even upon those suffering from stones, but I will leave this to those who are trained in this craft. Into whatever homes I go, I will enter them for the benefit of the sick, avoiding any voluntary act of impropriety or corruption, including the seduction of women or men, whether they are freemen or slaves. Whatever I see or hear in the lives of my patients, whether in connection with my professional practice or not, which ought not to be spoken of outside, I will keep secret, as considering all such things to be private. So as long as I maintain this oath faithfully and without corruption, may it be granted to me to partake of life fully and the practice of my art, gaining the respect of all women and men for all time. However, should I transgress this oath and violate it, may the opposite be my fate. Something perhaps we need to reconsider. Now, divine law and truth, which was mentioned in there, is called Rita. R-I-T-A. That is the real name of divine law and truth, not common or natural. But what is interesting about this is the only god of the past that visited Daria or Hyperborea was Apollo, the original solar god and possibly the Logos, before the intervention of the Egyptian, Israeli, Pharaoh, Cohen's, Hebrew Anunnaki and the cult of Ra took over. Apollo was the healer, in part oracle and visionary, and was clearly held in high esteem and vibration to go to Daria, something none of the other god or goddesses achieved. Now, to the maths people in Texas, Pythagoras also swore by Apollo as well. The number 3, which we discussed at length over the weekend, was an ideal number because it had a beginning, a middle, and end, and was the smallest number of points that could be used to define a plane triangle. Plane spelled P-L-A-N-E. Which they revered as a symbol of the god Apollo. Perhaps one on one with the one is the triangle. The gods and the goddesses. Oh my. How many of them did fall? Largely on their own sword. But what does that mean, falls on their own sword? Well, this plays into the self-mastery and the allegory story of King Arth of Ur and the Excalibur story. It is not a physical stone or sword. The swords you acquire in Dreamtime missions are not physical either. But you can defend yourselves with them and protect yourself in those realms. So for those who have attained the inner non-physical sword within, unless you exhibit ultimate personal responsibility on that level, you will fall on your own sword. Now, the sword is attained by merging the two warring hemispheres of your brain, merging it with the third eye, and when ready, the blade forms to the heart. Now, two things make this development stall or stop. One, the blocking of the throat chakra, and two, the heart is made of stone, just like the Excalibur legends. The sword becomes wedged because the heart is made of stone. The heart is where your real development comes from. It has more neurons than the brain. It is where wisdom and intellect comes from. Intelligence is a brain-mind development and can be taught to anyone. Intellect comes from the heart and is much higher in vibration, stimulus, frequency, thinking, and positive actions. Those with their swords wedged in the heart can no longer defend with their sword. The sword is a double-edged blade and if it can't defend, it can only cut you. If you cut yourself too much, and it happens at a faster pace now, you will quickly see that person falling and cutting themselves to ribbons internally. Those people will no longer make sense, as the death by a thousand cuts is unfolding from within and eventually externally. Now, the death of a thousand cuts originated in China called Ling Qi and was a torture tactic until it was banned in 1905. A slow death by the torture of many small wounds, non-lethal in itself, but fatal in their cumulative effect. And it's like termite damage. It eats from within, and only when it becomes severe do you see the damage externally. This can only be fixed at an early stage, as each cut causes more internal bleeding on a different plane of existence. If not dealt with early by the person themselves, ultimately they will die the death of a thousand cuts and ultimately fall on their own sword. I received further deeply damning evidence this week on the ongoing sagas of the Life Force Group, and I could have put it in the show and presented it, but I've decided that flogging a dead horse is no longer on my vibration, and neither should it be. They are consuming themselves with or without my input. I tried many times to help or save, but you can't help or save people who will not help or save themselves. THI nor TBC is not a savior program of one leader. It is a multi-leader self-saving project to improve everyone's lives. We project ourselves into a brighter future, not use the old loop movie projector that always was repeated in, of, and from the past. Only criminals, losers, and psychopaths want to change the past. Higher vibrational thinking and people observe the past, learn the lesson, and chart a better future path. The former categories absorb the past, and so becomes their perpetual now and future until it's addressed. To build a new platform for humanity in a way that does not include copying the failed old system, their failed old ways, and their failed old worlds. And this requires input from you all. I will not do it all for you. But think of how much energy we fritter away. And think of how, where, and what is best to re-divert that energy to a better cause for the TPC, and ultimately yourself also. Imagine if money was oxygen and breathable and subsequently observable. Think of how the world would change overnight if that was the case. If your level of money was counted in terms of oxygen to breathe, I wonder how many would die overnight for the lack of oxygen. Would you still collect it like it's going out of fashion? or learn to share it. There is a plenty for people's needs, but never enough for people's greed. But ponder on how much of your frequency and energy is frittered away on a daily basis. Arguing with people, fighting with people, raging at people or groups, people watching mind-controlled TV, and worse, news channels. Now imagine if that same energy was applied into fixing the failed old system and building a new. We don't have to fight them for that. We just have to raise our own frequencies, and they can't sustain it. As if we didn't have enough ongoing, me in particular, I have conceived of a new idea in part, inspired by the TPC Texas group and in particular Kevin. And I thought of the two TPC videos that laid out my vision for us all, but I never wanted it to be all about me. And that's why I tasked Alan and Liam to compile and narrate part three until they decided to sit in restaurants and wait for the Carrots program was more to their liking than working for the better cause themselves. And that's their choice, and we have to honour it. So I have envisioned a new TPC video that will last 2 hours and will involve as many THI members as possible. I'm thinking 20 to 30 members doing 2 to 3 minute pieces on the concept of the TPC and also explaining the virtues or teachings of the communal gatherings. A promotional video about the TPC and why people should join it and come together as one, espousing the ideas of why we have to be and are different from all the rest, how we are the blueprint for a new humanity and a new way of living, working and playing together in a peaceful world. I'm looking for people of differing age groups, people of all colours, both genders, people from different countries also, to create the diversity with which we go forward with. I will ask Michael to add another communal gathering for those of you who wish to participate in this. And we're going to need ideas on the topics discussed. We need writers to compile the speeches for the 20 to 30 segments, which will be 2 to 3 minutes each, and we need names put forward for those who wish to speak in the video, and it may be a mixture of video or audio recordings. Now Kevin Yockey will be the video coordinator for the final recording, but first we must build the concept in our image and in our own unique way. That's the new TPC. A word on the TPC Community Village. It is a blank slate concept. And some may be disappointed with its appearance, region, and or the location. The ones who have visited so far haven't. They've liked it. But it's not a tropical paradise, it's not a lush green area, and it's not filled with expensive houses, and will not be a status symbol home or region. But what it represents, though, is an opportunity to transmute, a blank slate for you to create in the image you wish to see. And it, in essence, encompasses us all. And like us, it requires work. It requires a bit of effort. It requires vision and requires change to transform it and yourselves. It starts from humble beginnings. The prices are suitable to be accessible to the many, not the few, which is a reversal of their world. It aspires to the TPC model of need, not greed. And if we care and share with it in a cooperative way, not comparative or competitive, it will become our foundation and base from which to build. Build it and they will come. But here is a few lines from a song that describes our venture and journey. It takes one step to start a journey. It's up to you to make it real. This is the time for yourself to be free. You've got to follow your heart. This is the time in your life, and it's never too late to see the light in the dark. You've got to follow your heart. Final few points to wrap up tonight. So I can get ready to meet people from THI tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And a couple of points of interest from the MeWe chat to cover now. And the first was said that, quote, nobody gets me and they all think I'm mad, unquote. Let them. What you think and what you believe counts, not what they think. And self-mastery overcomes those frustrations. You can't help people who won't help or save themselves. And those leaving you are a sign of your progression. You were attached to them for a reason. They were your baggage. And time will tell on that. It's not your fault you chose to raise your frequency and stand in the truth. The fault lies with them for not raising their frequency and operating in lies. So stop feeling guilty for those too lazy to work on themselves. They made their own choice, which they think is the easiest route. They will find to their own cost, it was not the easiest. The harder path is the easiest. The easiest path is the hardest. And it's on a par with fact is fiction, and fiction is fact in their world. Some are reporting around the world of large numbers of people have or are going missing. Oh my. Transmutation or transition? Or both, was my reply. And I know this disturbs many, and I explained this last weekend in Texas. I asked everyone how many people do you actually engage with, either daily, monthly, yearly, or over your lifetime, and the answer is probably a few thousand. Now, imagine if we had no news reporting channels or communications. and every country around the world emptied out. Would you notice or miss them? Think about that. Another quote from the chat also plays into this last piece. That's what they wanted, us to be isolated. The answer is, we were always isolated. But it hasn't stopped us developing, has it? So why is there a fear of being isolated? Because isolation from bots is our own paradise on earth. Bad apples spoil the crop, so you isolate the good apples. And those statements are in part of a general fear within people currently. Let it go. Fear helps no one. It doesn't mean that you don't care. It just means your focus is more on you and helping those who wish to be helped. And sometimes you have to give up on people, not because you don't care, but because they don't. That's the reality. It's not because you don't care, it's because they don't. Being honest and truthful is an expensive gift, so don't expect it from cheap people. And this next piece goes along the same lines. The issue of family came up recently, and how difficult it is at this time being with them, particularly when all they do is follow the corrupt system of deceivers. And people have said, when it is family, it is harder. And I get that. Family is harder, as they are family or familiar, is why. Familiar. But they say familiarity breeds contempt. And familiarity breeding contempt is a clear and present danger. Lives are put in jeopardy because we underestimate familiarity's threat. And it becomes a symbiotic dance of who is the more dominant and who is the slave bound to the familiarity. But family teaches you the harshest lessons. Do you observe them or absorb them? Who else teaches us the harshest lesson? The dark. But the familiarity aspect can be a seducing effect, can it not? There are many people who don't like people within their own family, yet stay together in a bind due to familiarity only. And family members can be a big pull and also a big drain on you. But it's your life and your path, not theirs. And you are free to choose accordingly. The focus is often on what is lost to us, but we have to ponder on those that go forward. Otherwise, the ones we lost were in vain. The EBE program dropped children into families. Tesla for one. How many others were seeded that way? And is your family the real one? This was sent to me and is fitting with the last few pieces. And it says, our own competence, our own awareness, our own ability to take ownership of our own life and mind is essential. It is essential. Until we do take responsibility for our own lives, and we still live in a way that we keep looking to whom we vest our life, to whom we vest our trust, rather than taking ownership ourselves. And if we keep looking for someone that we want to have as a messiah, rather than being our own Christ consciousness, then people will continue to be able to trick us. We will feel helpless and lost at times, and we may feel, what is the point sometimes? We are the point. We are the saviors, and we will not die for our cause. We will live it and grow. The six songs played tonight said it all in story form. The war pigs, because they don't really care about us. But I believe in the power of love, as love conquers all, if you follow your heart. Why? Because we are the light of the world. This has been the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Bye for now.